The Catholic Channel, SiriusXM 129 presents Just Love, a conversation on the Church's social mission with Monsignor Kevin Sullivan.
Welcome to Just Love. I'm Monsignor Kevin Sullivan. Just do it. Just love God, just love your neighbor, just love yourself. And our world will be more just and it will be more compassionate. This is we're starting. This is Just Love. This is our weekly conversation on the church and the world. My headsets were fine. My voice was fine. It was just the music was trying to drown me out.
Somebody unplug this.
It doesn't matter. I'm so nice.
You still not hearing?
Can you talk again, Monsignor?
Sure. This is our weekly conversation about the church and the world.
The Catholic Channel, SiriusXM 129 presents Just Love, a conversation on the Church's social mission with Monsignor Kevin Sullivan.
Welcome to Just Love. This is our weekly conversation about the Church and the world. Just do it. Just love God, just love your neighbor, just love yourself, and our world will be more just and it will be more compassionate. Well, we're into November now, and this is the week in which we celebrate Veterans Day. And Veterans Day is a very, very somber holiday. It's a day in which we remember, sadly, those who served in foreign wars. We remember, we think about war, we remember what the veterans have done in fighting for our country, and it is a time to be somewhat somber. So we're going to this today we're going to be speaking with people who are involved in helping veterans. We're going to be speaking with veterans, and there are also a lot of aspects to it. Clearly, in recent times, there's been a lot of issues. I mean, we all kind of aware of the fact that there were a lot of problems with the Veterans Administration, which is supposed to be kind of helping veterans when they come back. The veterans hospitals were seemingly had long lines and long waiting times for people to go there. And then even worse than that, well, maybe not worse than that, but certainly another aspect of it was that apparently some of the people in administration there were kind of covering up the waiting times that veterans had to do. So not a good situation with the veterans administration and the veterans hospitals. And so we're going to raise up veterans today, and we're going to talk about some of the programs that are there to help them, and we're going to speak about some of the things that are going on even in foreign countries to kind of deal with some of the implications when you know the military isn't a country, and can they do some good that is there. So I'm delighted that our first guest on the show is going to be Vanessa Russell, who is the CEO of Catholic Charities of Atlanta, and she's going to be talking about us what Catholic Charities in Atlanta does with the significant number of veterans who are living in Georgia, and particularly she's going to talk with us about the Help, Hope, and Honor campaign that they're coordinating to kind of educate students about the importance of Veterans Day. So I'm delighted that Vanessa Russell is with us on Just Love today. Vanessa, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Monsignor Sullivan. I really appreciate being here. And by the way, congratulations to you for being recognized by New York nonprofit media.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. I was delighted about it. And it was the 50 over 50. So basically, it was kind of honoring we decrepit and deteriorating people. But the thing I'm most happy about is now I can't get fired because everybody knows that I'm old and decrepit, and I'll bring an age discrimination suit against them. So I think it's pretty good for job security. So I'm happy to be honored by the 50 over 50 of the New York media. And Vanessa, thanks for the congratulations. So anyway, before we get into talking about your work with veterans, give our listeners a little sense of yourself, a little bit of your own biography, and how you got to the current position that you are in.
Well, I'm one of seven, and I am from a military household. My father served in both Vietnam and Korea. He's a Bronze Star recipient and a veteran. He passed away about 3 years ago. But he also was a really big reason of why I am where I am. Service was really big part of his life, and he's really passed that along to all of us. I was a board member at Catholic Charities for about 5 years, and really just fell in love with the organization from that. And when an opportunity became available for the CEO position, I stepped in, and that's been about 2 years now, 2.5 years.
Oh, well, that is great. That is wonderful. I'm delighted that you did so. So now, Vanessa, talk to us a little bit about what the programs or the program that Catholic Charities of Atlanta is inaugurated, Help, Hope, and Honor.
Help, Hope, and Honor is a great program that we've started to work with Catholic school students. It's really to raise awareness during this month of veterans, where we celebrate veterans. And also, we're collecting spare change that we'll use then to help veterans themselves. Because after all, servicemen and women are the people that you think of the least as needing the kind of help that they need. They're well-trained, they're brave, they're resourceful, the pride of our country. So what could they possibly need from us with all the resources, really, of a grateful nation at hand? But very often, it's that they need a lot. And so this program is just to bring awareness for students for the plight of our veterans.
So, Vanessa, you know, you began by saying is, you know, what could they need? So, in fact, what's kind of is going on with veterans that they need things? What are some of the needs that veterans have that this program, you know, can help to meet in some way?
Well, it was very interesting. When I first became CEO, we had the opportunity to introduce a program at Catholic Charities called the Peer Navigator Program. And I thought, wow, what a wonderful opportunity for us to have a veteran go out into the community and work with other veterans and helping them connect to their benefits. So I thought, oh, this is great. They'll come in. We'll let them know what benefits they're eligible for. We'll make a few phone calls, make a few connections, and this will be just a great program. But what we didn't expect, what we found that completely changed us, was the number of veterans who were coming to us homeless. And I would say about 40% of the veterans that we see are either living in their car, they're living at the airport, or they're in a hotel, and they don't have a permanent home. And a lot of that is because they are not aware of the resources and the benefits that are available to them, or that the amount of work that's required to connect to that, you really need someone to help you. And so that's where we really stand in the breach and help connect these veterans to their benefits.
So, Vanessa, that's a very interesting thing. And what you're telling me, you know, doesn't come as a real surprise to me because, you know, I've heard others talk about what you're saying. But I think in some sense, while it may not come as a surprise, to me, it's a little surprising. So let me ask the question this way. If you kind of took your typical person and you put them side by side, you took a few people and you put them side to side, and some of them went into the military and some of them didn't, you know, 10, 15 years later, is it more likely that the person who went into the military would be facing homelessness, or would it be the other person, or it doesn't make any difference?
Well, I think, as with anything, it really depends on the person. But the homelessness of veterans is really driven a lot by the experience of being in the military. quite often when you enter the military, you're young and you're leaving, living with your parents, and you're going into a very structured environment. You have maybe going to experience some trauma, and you're going to experience some very difficult things that their counterparts in the civilian world wouldn't have encountered ever. And so now you're in a very structured environment. Maybe you didn't learn a lot of coping skills on your own anyway because you were so young when you first signed up. You've gone through a couple of tours of duty, and now you're getting separated from the military. You don't have retirement, and I think that's a fallacy that a lot of people think that if you served, oh, well, you know, the U.S. government's going to take care of you forever, and that is not true. So you leave the military now, and you've got a skill that might not necessarily convert to the civilian world. And even if it does, you're not quite sure how to make that conversion or that transition yourself. So that's what you're really facing. And then you make a couple of bad decisions. If you have some coping issues, if you have some trauma from the service that you experienced, now you find yourself maybe making poor decisions or being caught in situations that you're just not equipped for. That then leads to joblessness, which then leads to homelessness. And the next thing you know, you're sitting with your four kids in our parking lot asking for help.
It's just such a sad scenario that you kind of painted for us. We're speaking with Vanessa Russell, who is the Chief Executive Officer of Catholic Charities, the Archdiocese of Atlanta. And kind of we're speaking this week on Just Love about veterans and veterans services. I guess from my point of view, Vanessa, what I kind of think of is kind of something you alluded to that's not the case, that people coming out of the military, it seems, are not kind of being provided for in the way that we might think that they would be provided for given the service that they have given. And that's a little bit surprising to me that they're not being provided for. Why is that?
Well, the federal government just isn't doing everything. And when service...
But not only that, it seems to me, from what you describe, is they're not doing much.
Well, you get probably an orientation when you separate on your benefits, and you get a pat on the back for doing a very fine job, and then you're sent on your way. And it's really up to the individual person to find their way in the civilian community again. And that's why there's so many nonprofits who are focusing on that transition period, because that's where people start to get lost. They might have mental health issues that go untreated. They might have substance abuse issues that they start using drugs or alcohol as a way to cope. And those are issues that then maybe they weren't an issue in the military, but once they've separated, they become issues. And so now just trying to get them into programs that can work with them to help them be self-sufficient and really get back on track are very, very important.
Now, you mentioned that your father, I believe, was a veteran of both the Korean War and Vietnam.
Yes.
Now, so going back to, let's say, Korea and maybe even Second World War, is there a difference today between veterans today and veterans then? I mean, the same answer, and I'm looking for something more than, well, no, they're different, or no, they're all the same. But I mean, is this phenomenon of veterans kind of having a real difficult problem in reintegrating into kind of civilian life and the problems there? Did we have those same problems after World War II, after Korea?
Absolutely. This has been a problem for every war. My father served in the military over 25 years, and I never thought about him as having PTSD. But after 9/11, we were watching the movie World Trade Center, and he had sort of a mini episode. And it was then that I really sort of started to understand and recognize that things like PTSD can follow you for a very long time. Even World War II veterans probably experience that from time to time throughout their life. So I think it's just the difference of how much we're talking about it and how much we're recognizing it as a real issue. It's always been around. It's always been a problem.
Now, is there, I would imagine there may well be some differences because of whether you have a volunteer army, whether you're drafted, that probably plays into it in some way or the other.
Well, we have an all-volunteer military,
right,
which is an incredible thing to say about our country. But again,
just declare I'm not in favor of it. Okay. No, I think everybody should be required to do certain service, and if you are a conscientious objector, you should be required to do a certain amount of non-military service. I think that would be a really, really equaling of the playing field for the country. Everybody should have a stake in this.
Well, there's a lot of good experience that comes out of serving in the military, but I just really firmly believe that for those who have trouble coping coming out, that we should do more. We can do more.
Yeah, and I think that's probably true. And I would probably offer the hypothesis, if everybody had to go in, then there'd be more services for people coming out with difficulties, because it's such a relatively small part of the population. It's kind of easy for the rest of us to say, well, it's not my problem. It's somebody else's problem.
That's true. And the burden in this country has always been more on the southern states. They're more represented in the military.
And again, that's why the southern states have more of military spending, and they have more facilities there, because the congressmen have fought for kind of getting more pork barrel stuff to go to the south. So it's all kind of fits in together in terms of kind of how, as a society, a lot of different things play out in a variety of different ways.
Well, I think it's great that we're having the conversation, because a lot of people just are not aware. There's
right.
So much support for veterans in general that sometimes the difficulties and these gap services that places like Catholic Charities provide just don't get enough press and they don't get enough airtime. There are certainly benefits for our veterans. For example, there's permanent housing benefits that's great. But it takes time, and we often find that even once we connect our veterans to permanent housing, if they're homeless, that it could take anywhere between 2 weeks, maybe 2 months, and who's standing in the breach for them during that period of time? And that's where we come in, so that we make sure that they're not homeless while they're waiting for that permanent housing.
You know, and I don't know anything about this. I know theoretically. What I would probably also look at, if in fact what we're discovering is that there is a fair amount of, you know, the post-traumatic stress syndrome, if there are people who have a hard time adjusting, I would probably then look to see how people are being trained in the military, how they're being treated while they are in service, to see if any of that are factors which are kind of causing them not to be able to adjust, you know, when they come out, because there's got to be something going on there that maybe we could be doing better while our soldiers are in the military.
I think there's a lot of resources for active duty military. I think the problem is when you separate, now you've lost that support structure, and it's trying to find, and you end up going back to wherever your home is. So there may be a very good VA hospital near you that has resources. Mental health counseling is always a huge problem. We do a lot with physical health, but mental health is a gap not only in the civilian world, but it's a huge gap in the military community as well. So it's that, you know, once you get out, you're going from a very structured environment to one that's not, and trying to find your way is very difficult. It's not that easy.
Hey, Vanessa Russell, the Chief Executive Officer of Catholic Charities, I want to say thank you for taking the time to be with us on Just Love today. But I also want to thank you for what you're doing, because, you know, the program that you're doing down with Catholic Charities in Atlanta is so very, very important, because these are people who kind of volunteered to serve their country. They provided a tremendous amount of service, and we can't forget them. We got to figure out how we, as a society, help them as they move forward in their lives. And so you've just given us a great example of this. And I'm hopeful that if people listening to you today, they might look in their own communities and say, hey, what should we be doing in our own communities to make sure that those who've served the country when they get out are better able to integrate? So, Vanessa, thanks so much for spending the time. Thanks so much for being with us on Just Love.
Thank you so much, Monsignor Sullivan, and I really appreciate you shining a light on this, and I'd really like to thank all the peer navigators across the country, especially Gina Brax, who's our peer navigator here in Atlanta, for helping these vets.
Great. So, Vanessa, thanks so much, and you always have an invitation to come back. If there's another program you want to talk on, please, you're always welcome on Just Love. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Great. So it is Veterans Day. This is the week when we celebrate, we recognize veterans. And I'm delighted that Vanessa Russell was with us. And I think why don't we take a break, and when we come back, we'll kind of continue our conversation about what's going on with veterans in a variety of different ways. I'm Monsignor Kevin Sullivan. Just love. Just love God. Just love your neighbor. Just love yourself. And our world will be more just, and it will be more compassionate. Join us when we come back, just in a minute or two, on the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129. Welcome back to Just Love. I'm Monsignor Kevin Sullivan. Our weekly conversation about looking at what's going on in the world through our perspective of Catholic social teaching, Catholic social wisdom. We call it Just Love because we say just do it. Just love. Just love yourself. Love God. Love your neighbor. And our world will be more just, and it will be more compassionate. We're speaking this week about veterans. It is the week of Veterans Day, and therefore we're speaking about different aspects of it. We just kind of spoke with the executive director of Catholic Charities in Atlanta, a program that they have in Help, Hope, and Honor that provide services to veterans, trying to make sure that they get connected with what they need to kind of move forward in their lives. And we're going to be speaking in just a moment with Matthew Griff, who is the co-founder and executive director of a very interesting social enterprise business, Combat Flip Flops. And we're going to speak with him about that business and learn a little bit more about how that company tries to kind of give back in some of the places which are war-torn and which there's a lot of strife. And then, you know, later on in the show, we're going to be speaking with Justin Miller, who is the co-founder and director of Veterans Military Affairs for Objective Zero, which deals with some of the mental health issues that affect veterans when they come back into the country. So that's what we're doing on Just Love today. And, you know, it's important that we honor those who have taken up arms in the military to protect the country. And in our Catholic tradition, we consider that to be a very, very kind of important thing. And as we've talked about on the show before, and maybe we'll talk about a little bit later, we do have what we call a just war theory. And what that tries to do is to help us to kind of understand those times when it is justified, moral, to go to war, and those times when it's not. And that, so therefore, when people go to just wars, we have always felt a responsibility to support those soldiers. And there's a strong core of chaplains who try to spiritually minister to them, provide them with what they need while they are in these very difficult and life-threatening situations. So from our perspective, the issue of war is very important to us as Catholics, important to us because our whole tradition says we shouldn't do it too much, that there should be very stringent conditions when we go to war as a country. But even though we do have a pacifist tradition, which is a legitimate part of our Catholic tradition, it's not the only part of our tradition. So when people do go to war justly, we say, you know, we have to make sure that we provide for them. And so that's why we're reflecting on veterans today, and we want to honor them for the service that they have given. So let's go now to our next guest, Matthew Griffin, who is the co-founder and the chief executive officer of Combat Flip Flops. Griff, thanks for being with us on Just Love.
Well, thank you for having me. I like the name of the show.
Great.
Very fitting.
Well, it is. We say Just Love because it, and you can do it either way. It's either about justice and love, or it's about only love. So however you want to take it, that's why we chose the name Just Love, a little bit of ambiguity or richness in the title. So I'm glad that you like it. So Griff, tell us, what is this company of yours called Combat Flip Flops? When Tom first told me about it, I wouldn't say, well, are you flip-flopping all over the place? But then I learned it's not exactly about that. So tell us what Combat Flip Flops is.
Yeah, so we're a veteran-operated company. What we do is we empower people who normally wouldn't be able to make an effect in a war zone, and we enable them to positively change lives in conflict areas and reduce the needs for soldiers to serve abroad. And we do that by creating fashion and lifestyle businesses in conflict areas, exporting them here to the U.S., selling them, and then we use our profits to put little girls to school in Afghanistan. Because we firmly believe that the most effective way to kill radicalism and fundamentalism is through women's education.
Well,
so that's what we do as a company.
So give us a little bit more about it. So, I mean, you say it's a veteran-run company. So are veterans in those places actually kind of manufacturing the stuff?
Yeah, so Donald Lee is a co-founder. Him and I both served in the 75th Ranger Regiment together in 2nd Ranger Battalion. Between us, we have 7 combined total tours. And so what happens is, you know, in our experience there on the ground, we found that maybe jumping out of an airplane and blowing things up probably isn't the best thing to do. And we should really go from a relationship building standpoint. So I started traveling back to Afghanistan, and I saw people making cool product and the positive effect it was having in the community. So we just started that in 2012, and we've been going for it ever since. And now we work in Colombia, Afghanistan, Laos, some parts here in the U.S., and we're constantly searching for new conflict areas. We use local manufacturers there because we want to create local leaders. We don't want to go into a country and start telling them what to do. We want them to make culturally relevant solutions to their problems in country. And it always seems to work itself out when you're doing good business.
So do you look for a company that's already up and running, or do you kind of develop the company? Tell us a little bit about the kind of the business model for how you get this thing going.
Yeah, so typically we'll go find somebody that's making something cool in the local market.
Okay.
And then we'll say, hey, well, you know, I want to buy 50 pieces right now. And then you know, their eyes kind of roll back like you're joking. And you say, no, I want to buy 50 pieces right now. And then we take them home and sell them. And then we just keep contacting them over and over, and they just keep shipping stuff to us. And so what we've done is, through relationship building, we've enabled people to expand their existing business and give them access to the largest consumer market in the world, which is the United States. So we communicate a lot through digital media, smartphones, cell phone photos, and just wire transfers. And we send cool product back and forth between a lot of different countries all over the world.
We're speaking with Matthew Griffin, who's the co-founder, the chief executive officer of Combat Flip Flops. So, Griff, what's the coolest product that you're making today?
So I think our coolest product that we make today is it's funny, it's the first product we ever made, but it's the men's AK-47 flip-flop. So it's a really cool, svelte looking, full cow leather, brown, rugged flip-flop. And it's got AK-47 casings on the outside and little flowers embossed in it. But it's been our number one seller since we started this company, and it continues to move. It's just a great product. New products that we're bringing out are the Peacemaker Peace Bomb. So it's a necklace that was made from a landmine in Laos that's left over from the Vietnam War. And then each piece that we sell clears 3 square meters of landmine. So it's a cool looking product, tells a cool story, and it does a lot of good in the world.
So, and these were somebody was doing this stuff and you kind of discovered them and thought they were cool. Is that kind of how it worked?
That's how it works. Is, you know, we just find cool, unique products that we'd never seen before, or you know, we wanted to have built, and we work with the local manufacturers there to make us product, and we just go forward from there. We just launched an entirely new shoe line. We had been historically a flip-flop company, but last month we just released a totally complete shoe line from $44 slip-ons up to $120 cool leather shoes.
So where are you kind of in your business cycle? Are you kind of at the beginning, the middle, the end? Where do you see your business going? Is it where you want it right now, or you want to grow a lot more? Or how do you evaluate that?
So this is year 5 for us. Last year we were on Shark Tank. I don't know if you were aware of that, but we got invested in by Mark Cuban. We grew immensely over the last year, and in the process of growing that fast after Shark Tank, we broke everything in our company, and now we've rebuilt it and we're ready for scale. And between all of us and the founders of the company, we want to run the most effective philanthropic for-profit business on the planet, and we're gunning toward it. So we're on the gas and look forward to bringing your community into our community, the unarmed forces.
So how big are you now?
Right now we are sub $5 million in total revenue, but we operate it with 4 people full-time here in Washington. And then we employ anywhere between 200 to 400 people daily around the world manufacturing for us.
Now, are they actually your employees, or are they the employees of the companies in each of those places?
They are employees of the companies in each of those places.
That sounds like a wonderful, wonderful model. And what are some of the obstacles you faced in moving in this direction?
So the first major obstacle we had was our footwear. We had pre-sold 4,000 pair of footwear, and then our factory went under because it was manufacturing for the government, and the government pulled the contract. And so we couldn't float the overhead. So we ended up making our first 4,000 pair in my garage behind my house. we've had, you know, shipments get held up in customs. We've had entire footwear orders. We've delivered product and they just didn't meet our quality standards. That was the first run. We've had just challenges with fulfillment because we've had so much demand for the product because people seem to enjoy the message and the mission, and we're truly thankful for that, that they've pre-ordered us out of product, and we're constantly battling with the ability to keep product in stock. And we've done a much better job over the last year of doing that, and we hope more people order us out of stock, which is always a good problem to have. So,
but
we always fulfill.
So, if our listeners wanted to buy it, could they buy some of the stuff you have?
Oh, you can go to combatflipflops.com, and if you're an Amazon purveyor, you can find us on Amazon as well. Just search Combat Flip Flops. And that's the two places to find us, on our website and on Amazon.
So I got to tell you, I love Amazon, but I got to make sure it's Amazon Prime because then I get the free delivery of it. Are you Prime?
Man, go ahead. We are Prime.
Ah, okay. That is good. That is good stuff. Are you in any retail stores?
We have a small network of boutique dealers, and you can find them on our website on our dealer page.
Okay. Well, that sounds great. So you're kind of happy with the trajectory that your business is on.
Yeah, it's the analogy of, hey, I'm going to go ride a tiger, and then you jump on the tiger, and then you finally realize you're riding a tiger. Well, you know, we're riding the tiger right now. It's
you know,
fun. We enjoy it.
I don't know whether it's one of those proverbs or whether it's one of those kind of curses, proverbial curses like, God save me from getting what I wish for. That it creates a little bit of problem sometimes when you get what you're trying to do, because it is a little bit of a tiger to try to figure out how you move in that direction.
Yeah, it is. And they say what God gives us toughest battles to his strongest soldiers.
We
try to remind ourselves that when things are heading south.
So. You know, Griff, you said something, and I want to give you a little bit of time to talk a little bit more about it, because something you said struck me. It resonates with me. So I want our listeners to hear you talk a little bit more about it. How, you know, if we're going to make our world less warlike, more peaceful, that it's more than about kind of simply military action, but it's got to be dealing with people and things there. Would you say a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I think that as Americans, we fall in love with the romance of war and patriotism, and I think it's great that we support our soldiers and our veterans, and there are things as just wars. I firmly believe what you just said. But at the same time, too, we need to realize that when we go to foreign countries, we drive around in big armored vehicles and we drop bombs and then, you know, we cause massive damage. That degrades what people would view us as a country. And they only see a small fraction of our country, less than 1% of our population serves. But they assume that against the whole. And we've just entered into this huge battle of ideologies left and right. And it's a result of foreign policy, economic trade and military action. But you know, we really need to be focusing more on non-military, positive, sustainable actions as a country with regards to foreign policy. We can't continue traveling around the world in a militaristic fashion. It is not sustainable for us as a nation, financially, economically, or morally.
So Griff, also now let's go to the other part of it. I think you talked about how the education of women or girls is critically important to kind of building a stronger society, and you're focusing on Afghanistan. Do you kind of in your head have a little goal of, you know, how many young girls you'd like to, you know, try to provide a better education with? Do you got that a little bit in your head, what you're trying to achieve there?
Yeah, personally, my lifetime goal, it's written on the inside of my notebook, is 100,000 girls educated. But when we hit full swing of where we want to be as a company, the basic math on the spreadsheet says we'll globally educate anywhere between 55 and 60,000 women per year. We're not doing it yet, but it's just taken us a while to get there. But I think when we hit where we want to be as a company, that's the impact that we're going to have on the world.
So, Griff, I assume that if our listeners want to learn more about your company, if they want to find out about, you know, how they can buy the project, they can go to your website, right?
CombatFlipFlops.com.
That sounds great.
And all of our socials at Combat Flip Flops.
I assume you. So, how much down the line in your business are you going to do an IPO on the stock exchange?
We would prefer never to do that.
Okay. fair enough, and with good reason, with good reason. So, hey, Mark Griffin, the co-founder and CEO of Combat Flip Flop, thanks for taking the time to be with us on Just Love. But even more importantly, thank you for the work you're doing. Thank you for kind of understanding that, well, maybe there is a role for wars on occasion, but there's a lot more to making our world peaceful and to getting nations to not fight with each other. So thank you for what you're doing.
Well, thank you, and I welcome your entire community to the Unarmed Forces.
Great.
Have a great day.
Mark Matthew Griffin, who is the co-founder, chief executive officer of Combat Flip Flops. You can find out about the company, Combat Flip Flops, by going to their website. And if you want to buy some of their products, you can go to their website. You can look it up. You can also get it on Amazon. So it's a good way to kind of figure out what's going on and then decide, do you want to support it? Or do you want to get something that is possibly a gift? But it's also helping to make a more peaceful world. His focus is educating young women in parts of the world where maybe there aren't as many opportunities as we're used to here in the United States for good education of young girls. So I think we'll take a break now. I'm Monsignor Kevin Sullivan. Just love God, just love your neighbor, just love yourself. Our world will be more just and more compassionate. If you want to learn more about the topics we talk about, you can go to my blog, which is called the justloveblog.org, and you can follow me on Twitter at MSGRKSullivan. And you can follow me and you learn a little bit more about the things that we talk about here on Just Love. So we're going to take a break and we'll come back in just a couple minutes on the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129. Welcome back to Just Love. I'm Monsignor Kevin Sullivan, our weekly conversation about what's going on in the world through the prism of our Catholic wisdom, our Catholic social teaching, and we reflect on it in order to try to figure out how we should navigate that world in the way that our actions actually create a world that's more just and more compassionate. We kind of say we don't have to necessarily only think about the big issues as we are today of veterans and war and how we reintegrate veterans back into society, but we should think about how we do that on an individual basis. So we say just love. You love God, you love your neighbor, just love yourself, and our world will be more just and more compassionate. So that's what we're doing. This is the week of Veterans Day. But as we kind of talk about Veterans Day, I want to make sure we don't forget about the natural disasters that have happened in the past month or so. Tom, is there any news about Puerto Rico?
There is, Monsignor. There's actually many schools are now starting to give tuition support for displaced Puerto Rican students. In fact, Catholic University of America just announced this week that it's waiving spring semester tuition for up to 40 students who are enrolled in the college or in universities in Puerto Rico. Applications for students from any major program of study are being accepted through December 16th. And some other schools and universities that are responding in similar ways include the State University of New York, Tulane, several South Florida institutions, including Miami-Dade College, Broward College, and Palm Beach College, and St. Thomas University Catholic School in Miami Gardens, who are looking to bring on board 100 Puerto Rican and Caribbean students responding to the hurricane. So, Monsignor, the schools are stepping up to the plate in that regard, too.
Thanks, Tom. That's a good notion. It is one of the positive things that usually happens after a disaster, as awful as they are, is kind of a lot of goodness of the human spirit comes forth and the goodness of institutions. And, you know, very often it is our Catholic institutions that do step up very quickly to make sure that some of the suffering can be alleviated. So kudos to our Catholic universities and other universities who have also stepped up to the plate with regard to the situation in Puerto Rico. So I want to now go to Justin Miller, who is the co-founder and director of Veteran and Military Affairs for Objective Zero. Justin Miller, thank you for being with us on Just Love.
Yes, sir. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. How about yourself?
Oh, I can't complain.
Okay. So tell our listeners, what is Objective Zero?
Objective Zero is a foundation that we founded that we are developing an app to eliminate veteran and service member suicide. The app will allow family members, veterans, service members, and caregivers. It'll allow them to instantly and anonymously connect to a volunteer who is trained in suicide prevention that is just there because they care. They're not there to collect a paycheck. They just want to listen to your story. They want to hear what's going on and help you get through the time of need.
So is the app already up and available?
It is not. We're in our beta testing now, finishing things up just to tighten it up. And then within the next 2 weeks or so, the Android version will be available. And then about a week after that, the Apple version will be available.
So Justin, give me a little bit, play it out for a little bit, how you might see this of being help to, you know, some individual who might be in a situation which there are some, you know, thoughts of suicide.
Well, this all started because about 3 years ago, I almost committed suicide myself. And, you know, I was reaching out for some help and went to the VA, and it wasn't as helpful as I was expecting. So I reached out to my buddy, and through this time, we realized that, you know, a lot of these issues, if we just have somebody to talk to who's willing to listen and hear you out and listen to your story and you know, get you through that knee-jerk reaction. While creating this app, we did research and found that most veterans commit suicide within the first 5 minutes of making the decision. So we come to the conclusion that we needed something that was going to be instant, you know, just a touch of a button, allow them to get online and talk to somebody who's trained in suicide prevention, who kind of understands, you know, what's going on, and then, you know, they just hear you out.
And so is from your experience, in the way the app is set up, so somebody would kind of use the app, and are they connected then by phone to somebody who they could talk to?
But the way it works is it allows you to get on the app, and then there's two options. There's what we call the bat signal, which would allow somebody in a time of need to just hit a button, and it'll send out an alert to our ambassadors, and that could be through video, talk, or text. Or if you want a more personalized conversation, then you can actually go through and filter it down by branch of service, by sex, by military occupation, you know, by which deployment, whether you've been to Iraq or Afghanistan or Vietnam, anything like that. She can filter it down and customize it the way you want. And then you have the option to text, talk, or video chat, whichever method the person is most comfortable with.
We're speaking with Justin Miller, who is the co-founder and the director of Veterans Military Affairs for Objective Zero. And they're just about to launch an app for the Android, and then a little bit later on for the Mac, that will enable veterans to have almost instant contact with another person if they're feeling that they might be thinking of hurting themselves through suicide. So we're really glad that Justin Miller is with us. Justin, I think probably many of our listeners, you know, probably are aware of the concept of like a suicide hotline. How would you either compare or distinguish this, your app, with some of those suicide hotlines?
Well, I mean, it's kind of compared to there's somebody always going to be there. You know, the thing that makes us unique is it gives you the option to either talk, text, or do a video chat. You know, when people are in that time of need, or they're feeling suicidal, or just feeling like the world's collapsing in on them, you know, sometimes they might be more comfortable texting with somebody, or they might want to do video chat so that way they can see who they're talking to, and they can see the emotions and that they actually have somebody's attention. You know, the fact that you can customize it. You know, when you call a suicide hotline, you don't know who you're getting hold of, and most of those people are paid. With our app, it's ran off of volunteers, people who aren't looking for a paycheck, people who just care, you know, about life, and, you know, they want to hear your story and talk you through the time and discuss what's going on and let you know how important you are and how needed you are in the world, even though you might not see it at that time.
In terms of the people who will be kind of on the other end, who will be either texting back or video chatting or calling, yeah, I know you said that they are volunteers. Would they themselves, most of them, any of them, all of them, be veterans themselves?
No, actually, anybody can become an ambassador. You know, the only requirements is over 18, not a felon or a sex offender. And, you know, we've realized that, you know, some veterans are actually more comfortable talking to a civilian just because they are, you know, could be more compassionate. And, you know, that talking to other veterans, sometimes they'll have that stigma where they just don't feel comfortable. They don't, you know, they think that, you know, what they've been through might not be as bad as what somebody else been through, so they might have, you know, the urge to want to talk to somebody who's never experienced it to listen. So anybody who is willing to answer the phone and willing to talk to somebody in that time of need is who we need. You know, we need those people who are compassionate and loving and just want to help and make a difference in the world.
Have you had trouble recruiting ambassadors?
No, I mean, considering the app's not out yet, we already have roughly about 300 ambassadors. We also have just partnered up with the VA, where now they're going to be basically using us as a resource. So they're going to be relaying the information to the veterans throughout the VA, letting them know that we exist. But yeah, I mean, it's been an uphill battle trying to get these things figured out and trying to get people and just get the word out has been the biggest thing, is trying to get any type of vision, you know, from media, radio, TV, you name it. Just trying to get our name out there, try to let people know that we exist. Our goal is to have 1,000 ambassadors by the end of the year. So, you know, we have some obstacles to overcome, but hopefully with the help of, you know, this and some of the other interviews we've done, hopefully it helps improve our numbers.
Well, Justin Miller, thank you for what you're doing, and thanks for this innovative way of trying to kind of reach out and be of help. So thanks so much for joining on Just Love, but more importantly, thanks for what you're doing with Operative Zero. So thanks so much for doing that. Thanks for being with us.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having Objective Zero on the line, and I appreciate what you're doing.
Great. Thank you so much. You know, I think we had some very good conversation about Veterans Day this year. I mean, we spoke about the difficulties that people have in kind of trying to readjust the coming back to figure out how they become, quote unquote, civilians again, and a lot of different ways that people are kind of helping. I mean, certainly Catholic Charities of Atlanta with that very, very specific thing that they're doing to kind of help veterans to get in touch with the services that they have. And clearly, Justin Miller's Operative Zero, you know, veterans who maybe are feeling really depressed and, you know, moving in the direction of suicide, to make sure that they can get help immediately, which is a really, really good. That's a very, very important part of it. Then you also have, people who are trying to, you know, try to make sure that the world is a better place by maybe not so much military action, creating peace, reconciliation, education, like Griff, who is got a company that is trying to figure out how we create a world where women are better educated, and that will help to reconcile people. So this veteran stuff is very, very complex. We have a tradition of, you know, understanding just wars, but it means we don't like them. We want people not to be killing each other in wars, and we do appreciate those who are also conscientious objectors who think we shouldn't be ever engaged in a war. So I want to say thank you for being with us on Just Love. You can follow more about us on justloveblog.org or follow me on Twitter at MSGRK Sullivan. This is the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.
You're listening to the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.